Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio.
DJ about DJ.
The Candid Frank Live Show.
Or it'll be live
with
Rob J. Emery.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger. Christopher Lions Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch.
Oh, yeah, get your fucking thing about.
Not done yet.
Bill and Lee and the World Travelers and Hal. Danny Al Salonen. Rob the Trainer, Jake Emery. C. Double Blue Richardson. The Two Tone Kingsley Family. D. Oh My My Myers. Jim the Weed Weaver. Louis the Gatekeeper Jesperson. Baird the Raptor Devil again. Louis the Big Robin. Aaron Russell the Organizer Nagy. Randy.
And finally,
Captain Video Kissinger.
Yep, Captain Video Kissinger. All right, guys. Today we've got a full show. A heavy topic to discuss, which everybody wants to weigh in on. And, of course, that is how much Christopher Jones doesn't like Chad Johnson. But I think he turned the corner a little bit. It looked like on Facebook he was making an interesting, not about face, but, you know, he was turning the other cheek, if you will. And, yeah, I think his opinion was changing a little bit. Now, before we get into that, we have tonight, it is my pleasure to invite you all to meet and greet our first draft choice for this year. And for those of you that followed us last year, you will know full well, that we had some first-round draft choices that you got to meet personally. And today, Alex Pierschelski. He is a receiver with the University of Toronto Blues. He is a rookie of the year, and he's a top 10 pick in the upcoming CFL draft, which means all the fans in here can't say anything negative about him because he may very well be picked up by their team, which means us Argo lifers love him. We think he's wonderful. And, well, you know, it is what it is, guys. And I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a lot of fun talking to him. I told him I'd call him a few minutes in. So, boys, I beg your forgiveness. I know how excited and anticipatory you are about this conversation we're going to have, but we have to deal with our guest first. And you know, he is, I gotta tell you, it's a big kid, 222, 6'5 or 6'3 depending on which info you go by. It's hard to tell which, but you know, I don't know, sometimes I think we get situations where you know, well, anyway, he was at the combine. Did pretty well at the combine. We'll ask him how it went at the combine, and we'll have an opportunity to talk to him in just a few seconds. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, number 18 for the University of Toronto Blues, weighing in at 220 pounds, in a 6'5" or 6'3", depending on who you believe, frame, the one, the only, Alex Pierschelski. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. How's it going?
Oh, awesome. There's we do this coffee table format where we invite many. We have right now in the virtual studio, if you will, by telephone, we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 of us, and what comes up, my friend, are phone numbers, and I'm supposed to remember which phone number is which. Not only that, the Skype numbers come in different all the time, so I have to guess there. So, Alex, I got to warn you, these are die-hard CFL fans. But one thing I can promise you, they're going to be nice to you because they don't know which one of them is going to get you on their team this year. Have you got any? Have you got any favorites that you? And you know, if you don't say so, I'm okay with that.
Some favorite CFL teams?
Yeah. Is there a team like you grew up loving?
I've been a fan of a few teams. I mean, I grew up in London, Ontario, just 2 hours west of Toronto. And I've always followed the Argos just because they're close by. I've always been a big fan of the Calgary Stampeders and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Not one team in particular I've been a diehard fan with, but I've followed the game ever since I was a child. So,
well, you know, you can always be assured that as long as you're playing in the CFL, someone's going to love you to death. Because I promise you one thing, CFL fans are almost as good as CFL players as far as loyalty and dedication is concerned. You are soon to be a member of some of the best athletes in the world. And I want to congratulate you before you get drafted. On wherever you get drafted, you become a friend of the show. We've had a few first-round draft choices on here previously. And I wish the best for you in the draft. So tell us, first of all, how did the combine go for you?
The combine was a phenomenal experience. Getting the invite directly to the National CFL Combine first and foremost was a big honor. The CFL just introduced this new process for the combines, hosting multiple regional combines throughout the country. I think they did one in Edmonton, Montreal, and one in Toronto prior to the national combine, and only a select few players from those regional combines would then get the invite to go on to the national combine, which takes place over 3 days in Toronto. So getting the direct invite to the national combine was a great honor, something that I was very excited about. It takes some stress off the shoulders as well, because the Toronto regional combine, which is held before the national combine, like I said, takes place only a day before the national combine. So in terms of having to redo all the tests and the competition drills and whatnot, it's a big relief to have that direct invite, especially from someone who is from Toronto or lives in Toronto. So getting the invite first and foremost was a big honor, because only a very select few players do. And something I'm very proud of, to be able to say that recognition went right up to, you know, CFL teams and coaches. The combine itself, a 3-day-long experience, something that I will never forget for as long as I live. It ran from Friday morning until Sunday afternoon, something that for the first time in my life I felt like I was really accomplishing something on a much bigger stage outside of the University of Toronto campus. Anything from registration to getting drug tested to, you know, meeting the other players, the interview process, which I'll explain in just a second, the bench press test, the vertical and broad jump tests, and then the big day where we test the speed, 40-yard dash tests, and get in the pads and do competitive drills. One thing I really want to emphasize for everyone is the interview process, which is a little bit overlooked, I think, publicly, because a lot of people are interested in the actual numbers and the performance from the players. But something that is very important about the CFL Combine is the interview process, because CFL teams are not only looking to draft players for their talent and their abilities, but they're also looking to draft players based on their personality and their, you know, interpersonal skills, based on how they will interact with other teammates and programs. So the interview process, which took place on Friday and Saturday evening, was by request. So you would get teams would request an interview with you, and you would basically sit down with teams either in a boardroom or a hotel room, whatever the setup each team had. And you'd have a 15-minute interview. And, you know, I had 6 interviews. So I interviewed with every CFL team except for the Edmonton Eskimos, BC Lions, and Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And so the six teams that I interviewed with, you know, there were six-plus coaches in every one of these interviews, some of which there were upwards of 15 coaches and staff members in these interviews. So you can imagine the intimidation factor that comes into that. But it's something that I feel like I handled extremely well. And it was a very cool process because some teams were took more of an approach of trying to get to know you and trying to get to know your background. And some other teams were trying to test your, I guess, social and interpersonal strength in a certain sense, trying to criticize you in certain ways to, just to see how you'll react. And so it was a very different experience with each team. And the interview process is something that was nerve-wracking at the beginning, but I felt like I handled very well. And I actually think that it will go a long way in terms of where I will get drafted. So the interview process first and foremost was an incredible experience. And the other thing I could definitely emphasize for everyone is the importance of the competition drills on the Sunday afternoon, which is kind of the climax of the combine. You do your 40-yard dash test, your 5-10-5 shuttle test, and your L drill test. And then after that, you strap the pads on, in your shoulder pads, helmets, and shorts, and you do individual drills where coaches can evaluate your skills. And then competitive drills, you do one-on-one drills against defensive backs and receivers, which is my circumstance. And you do special teams drills, test your athleticism, test your aggressiveness. And that's another portion of the combine I felt like I did very well in. Yes, and it was just an incredible experience overall. I must say I personally wasn't born a gifted tester. My testing numbers were solid, I would say. Nothing spectacular, but I really feel like I made up for the solid numbers that didn't stand out with scouts in the competitive drills where I felt like I actually was quite dominant. So overall, the weekend was an incredible experience, like I've said a few times now. Something that, again, I will never forget. And just being able to meet the coaches from different teams and get a feel for what it's like to be around people that are in the position of a professional sports league. It was overwhelming, and it was really, really incredible.
You know, the toughest part of being spoken to a lot of times isn't about what you say. Sometimes it may be what you don't say. So, you know, that's the trap of that kind of conversation. It's what they take away from not just what you say, but what you don't say.
Correct. Yes, definitely. I mean, I practiced a lot, believe it or not. I mean, it's just like a job interview. You want to prepare yourself. You want to know what they're looking for, you know, what type of job you're applying for, and being able to express your abilities for whatever job you're applying to in that specific area. So, you know, with football, obviously I want to be on point with my answers and try and get an idea of what kind of things they're going to ask me, because the last thing you want to be doing is getting a question that on the surface might seem very simple and straightforward, but is actually quite complicated in terms of answering in a way that is impressive and attention grabbing. So yes, that was a tough part of it for sure. Being able to give them the answers that they were looking for. And just as an example for everyone, you know, my very first interview was with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and I went in there, I sat down, there was probably about 12 coaches and staff members sitting in there, all staring right at me. And the first thing that was asked of me was, who is the offensive coordinator of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? And I had done my homework. I knew every coach on every team by face and by name. So I answered George Cortez, the man who was sitting right across from me, shook his hand. And then my next question from head coach Corey Chamberlain of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, he asked me, he said, so who is the head coach of the Saskatchewan Roughriders? And then I said, well, sir, I'm speaking to him. And I stood up and I shook his hand. Mr. Chamberlain, it's great to meet you. And, you know, all the coaches had a little bit of a chuckle. And I asked them, I said, what's so funny, if you don't mind me asking? And they said, well, you're the first guy that's answered those two questions correctly. So you're off to a good start. So the preparation going into these interviews is no joke. It's something that I took very seriously. And from what I gathered, others may not have taken that seriously. But yeah, so you're put on the spot and you need to be ready, not just physically, but mentally as well throughout the whole weekend. So.
Yeah. And you know what I find interesting, and I only scratched my head for a short moment, by virtue of the three that did not interview you, it comes to my attention, and I happen to think that those teams aren't looking for a receiver. And it wouldn't be far off, considering those three teams are pretty strong at the receiver position. How hard do you take it? And do you see what I mean as far as not being interviewed by them, or do you think it's just a non-issue?
Definitely. I definitely know what you're saying. I mean, it's true. BC Lions, for example, have an extremely strong receiving core. You know, they have talent across the board. It's something that I thought about, but not ever in a way where I was offended or disappointed. You know, I went into the weekend with positivity, and it turns out that I actually got a phone call on Monday from the BC Lions. So a team that did not interview me at the Combine, I got a phone call from the receivers coach, Coach Pau Pau is his name, formerly the offensive coordinator for the Waterloo Warriors CIS football team. He gave me a phone call on Monday and said, listen, it's nothing personal that we didn't interview at the Combine. The simple fact is each team has a certain amount of time slots, and we had to prioritize our interviews based on the time slots that we were granted. So there is that aspect of it as well, that not every team could interview every player because there are too many players and too little amount of time slots. So that was another aspect of it. But to be honest with you, I never once had any sort of resentment or disappointment of that matter. I mean, of course I would have been like to be interviewed by all nine teams. But the simple fact is I'm not, you know, a top five prospect in the country. I'm not at that, you know, that low first round projection draft spot, something that I'm content with. And, yeah, so, you know, only very few players had interviews with all nine teams, and then there were some players that had only one or two interviews. So I was happy with six. I wasn't really sure where I stood going into the Combine in terms of national recognition. And when I first looked at my schedule for interviews, I saw that I had six teams, and I was actually quite happy with that. So I took the positivity out of getting six opposed to the negativity of not getting three, and that's how I kind of approach the matter.
I would be in deep trouble later if I didn't ask this question. Did you notice the guy kind of really short hair, kind of a buzz cut, kind of balding with a child on his lap at the Saskatchewan interview?
Balding, short hair. Yeah, well, the it comes to mind. Offensive coordinator George Cortez fits that description.
Actually, that was a trick question. I was referring to one of our Saskatchewan fans, and I can't believe that Kelly wasn't there. If there was a big room, this guy is everywhere when it comes to Saskatchewan, and he'll probably chapter and verse tell us all about you a little later.
Well, there you go.
I was just throwing a little anvil at Kelly. No, in all seriousness, though, the conversation. I don't know how you don't get intimidated, and I can tell right now that you're a very studious young man. You obviously are the kind of guy that does your homework, and I can't imagine that that's not an attractive trait that all the teams are looking for, because one thing that we do know is that the playbook's a very important thing. So now you get a chance to talk to them, and do you give credit to being studious and being able to get past the nervousness of being on a radio station or talking to GMs and coaches in the manner that you did? And how does that help you with the playbook?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a big part of it. Just a quick note for Kelly there. Saskatchewan coaching staff is phenomenal. I'm sure you already know. My interview with them went very, very well. Yes, my interview with them went very, very well, and I'm very excited about the opportunity of possibly playing in Saskatchewan one day. I had a very, very good vibe from the coaches, Mr. Chamberlain in particular, or Coach Chamberlain in particular, who is a very, very special man. I like him very much. So just a quick note for Kelly there. I'm sure he's already well aware. But yeah, just to answer your question, I think it really elevates my credentials, I guess you could say. I believe I've always had pretty strong interpersonal skills, something that I've always been gifted with. But the one thing that is beyond being gifted of is work ethic, and it's something that I pride myself on, and I can separate myself from others who may be gifted in different ways. My preparation going into these interviews was a very large part of how well I did, and it is a very large part of how to the level of nervousness, I guess, I had. I mean, I was a little nervous going into my first interview, but because of how prepared I was mentally and physically for this combine, my level of being nervous was actually quite low. I was feeling very relaxed, not too relaxed, but relaxed, and I just knew that my interpersonal skills that I possess and that I know I possess would bring me a long way, and I knew that I would do just fine if I just acted like myself and had done my homework and just kind of sat down and had a conversation, and that's kind of how it went. So yeah, I definitely think it helps me, because CFL coaches and GMs, they're looking for players, but they're also looking for people. And, you know, personality goes a long way, and I do think that will help me and has helped me in the past and in the future for hopefully playing professional football one day.
How fortunate do you feel with the opportunity at the Combine? Because it is kind of an interesting situation. You're basically showing people a sample of your tools under a bubble while your career literally is on a bubble. And that bubble,
yep.
That experience, right now, we've got a young man named Dunk at CFL.ca who considers
yes.
you in the middle of the pack of a top 15 pick.
Yep.
That has to make you proud. And how eager are you, and you know, and what do you see that you did that put you there?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely extremely proud to be in the spot that I am. And what I've told a lot of coaches is that a lot of coaches that ask me, you know, who inspires you or what motivates you to play football and to do what you do. And my answer to them, not trying to sound arrogant or self-centered in any way, but
That's
an answer
job.
That I had for them, yeah, the answer that I had for them was that my motivation comes within. My inspiration comes within, and that I would not be where I am today without the choices that I decided to make. And that has brought me where I am today. Now, there's a ton of things that I've been very lucky with and very fortunate with, and I'm very appreciative of the opportunities that I've been given. And to be honest with you, prior to the combine, like I said, I wasn't really sure where I stood in terms of rankings. But to see where I stand now, it's truly overwhelming. And it's to the point where I am extremely appreciative of where I stand. And it has happened all so fast that I haven't, to be honest with you, truly been able to grasp what's happening in this process. It's been something that I do appreciate, but I don't think I've appreciated it enough, because it's just a process. I see these articles, these ranking boards that come out, you know, every few days, and it's been nothing but good news for me for the last little while. And just sitting back and appreciating is something that I still think I need to do, to be honest with you, because yes, it makes me happy. Yes, it's very rewarding to get these results. But it's something that, I mean, I've been dreaming about playing in the CFL since I was a child. The magnitude of this moment in my life is so much bigger than I realize. And I do need to just sit back and appreciate these moments. So, yeah, did I answer your question there? I feel like I kind of went off
a little bit. You answered it perfectly well. It really is, you know, I have to tell you, it is very nice to meet a young man who is so erudite as you are. I feel as though I could put the microphone down, let the guys in the room, and then you guys can carry on like I didn't even exist. In fact, probably even better. So, you know, and I say this with all sincerity, and this is another thing I'll say with sincerity and honesty. You come from a school, the University of Toronto, which recently has made a comeback in CIS. You have some great coaches there, former CFLers, and you've made strides, U of T. You know, when I saw your name, in the middle of the pack of the top 15, that's not easy coming from U of T because, you don't have the cachet that some of the other schools like Western, have. And, and for that, I am proud of you because, you've set yourself, as a man of distinction. And I think your program at U of T is as proud of you as you are of yourself. And I have to tell you, congratulations. And I had a chance to talk to your coach last year, and he was promising me that U of T was going to make some changes, bringing in some good players. You brought in some of your management team have worked very hard at bringing players in. And, one of the handicaps from outside U of T, from someone who remembers U of T, and I actually called CIS football games back in the day, some 20 years ago. U of T is an educational place. It isn't so sporting supportive. So I find it totally amazing, and I really do feel like I owe U of T an apology and what was rolling around in my head until I had a chance to look into your career and where you stand in U of T. And you can tell them when you go back, I'm very pleased as a football fan to know that U of T has come back because they were a great team back 20 years ago, and it's really nice to see the progress you've made. Speak to that a little bit about the school and how much it's changed.
Absolutely. Well, I am incredibly proud to be a Varsity Blue, I got to say. A lot of people ask me, why didn't you go to Western? You grew up in London, Ontario. And my answer was, I had a feeling about this school. I had a feeling about these coaches and this program, aside from the outstanding facilities we have at the University of Toronto. And when I made my decision about what university to go to, I decided the University of Toronto because I wanted to be the difference. I wanted to be part of the change. And that was the culture coming in, was that U of T needs to fix this. We need to get better. We need to put this program on the uprise. And I got to tell you, from when I came into the University of Toronto in the fall of 2010 and fast forwarding to now, the program has done a 180 and we are on the track to being a competitive team in the OUA. And I'm incredibly proud to be part of that process. And I must speak to a few of my very good friends and teammates who are part of my 2010 recruiting class that have been a significant part in this team making these strides. Our quarterback, Simon Nassar, phenomenal player, very hard worker, inspirational guy, and one of my best friends, someone who has had a huge impact in our program, hasn't played on the field in his first 2 years, but has come in and made a huge impact. Chris Johnson, linebacker, also up for the CFL draft this year, naturally gifted, explosive linebacker, great player, also part of my recruiting class and also a big part of this change. Aaron Milton, running back, Aaron Wheaton, offensive lineman, all guys that are actually eligible for this CFL draft and are actually likely to get drafted. So yes, you speak to my career and how me coming into the draft as a varsity blue is an accomplishment in itself. But just to expand on that impressiveness that you have expressed for my career, you know, there are me and three others at the University of Toronto this year who are likely to get drafted. And to me, it must be some sort of record. I mean, at least in the last 20 years, that four University of Toronto football players have been in the position that they're in today. Three of us were at the National Combine this year. And I must give them some recognition as well, because, yes, I'm very proud of the career that I've had. And coming out of the University of Toronto, possibly into the CFL, is a tough thing to do based on where our program has been. But it's not just me. There is these three other guys, and Aaron Milton, Aaron Wheaton, and Chris Johnson, who have put themselves in that position as well, and are phenomenal football players and very good friends of mine. So, the program has completely turned around, and I hope that continues, and I will always be a varsity blue at heart, and it's just something that I'm just incredibly proud to be a part of, quite simply.
And appreciate it again on this front. And I have to say as well, for those of you that are tuning in, that Sportsnet 360, of course, Rogers, they have developed a programming strength, I'll call it, where the CIS is central to their programming. And so if you want proof that UFT has gotten better, you'll be able to witness it yourself on a week-to-week basis when you watch CIS football games. And we have no problem on this program promoting TV stations, because our first and foremost desire here, and the reason why there are nine people waiting to talk on the program live on the show, is because they love the game that we have here in Canada, known as the CFL and Canadian football. Speak to us a little bit about your position, and you picked that position. Was it in mind that it was a strong position and a better opportunity for success in achieving your goal of playing in the CFL, or was it just a natural position for you?
Well, it's interesting you say that in terms of opportunity. I played quarterback my entire high school career. So the first, all 5 years of my high school career, I was our team's quarterback, and I had been playing quarterback throughout my entire career. I played London minor football. I strapped on the helmet for the first time when I was 7 years old. Quarterback was my position for my entire career. And as I grew physically and mentally and learned the game from that perspective, there was a tipping point in my career when I was about to graduate from high school. I was playing football for the OVFL London Falcons, the Ontario Varsity Football League. And I actually stepped in at receiver for that team. Receiver came extremely naturally to me. I don't have any reason why, but I was able to run routes, and I'm naturally gifted with the ability to catch the football. And I loved the position and realized that if I were to one day play in the CFL, I have much better chances of doing so as a receiver and a special teams player opposed to a quarterback. I decided to make that change. And with only 1.5 seasons of receiver under my belt, I got recruited to the University of Toronto from those seasons, and never looked back from there. So I began my career at the University of Toronto as a wide receiver to the boundary. My first 2 years I played as the X receiver, which we call it at the University of Toronto, to the boundary wide receiver on the line. And then in my third year, I was gaining some weight. I was sitting at about 210 pounds at the time, and standing at about 6'4". And my coaches said, it's time, I think, you try slot, because if you want to play in the CFL, you're likely going to be a slot back based on your size. And sure enough, I went in to play as a slot back to the boundary, also inside slot back to the field. And the position, again, came extremely naturally to me. I developed a love for blocking. I developed a love for making those first down catches, being sure-handed, you know, running crisp routes, and making plays in the red zone. And that's what I've built my game around. In our 2013 season, I scored 9 touchdowns in 8 games, and most of which came within 25-yard line of the opposing team. So I developed a kind of a identity for myself as a big-bodied, aggressive, sure-handed, reliable receiver who will take that hit over the middle for his players, get that first down, make those blocks on halfbacks, outside linebackers, and sometimes even defensive ends. And that identity was something that I was able to bring into the combine and market myself as a big-bodied possession receiver who possesses a certain type of expertise or certain type of tangible to the game that not other receivers possess. And I may not be the fastest player on the field, you know, but I have that ability to, you know, move the football down the field in the way that I can. And I think that that really caught on well. As Kelly may know, Saskatchewan loves big receivers, big Canadian receivers. You know, Andy Fantu's played in Saskatchewan for a long time. Chris Getzlaff is someone who I compare myself to often and strive to be like one day. Chris is a phenomenal player, and I could only hope to be as good as he is one day. But, yeah, so that's the kind of style of play that I pride myself on. I hope that it is marketable enough that a CFL team will take interest on draft day.
We're talking to Alex Pierschalski, and he is a University of Toronto receiver. He is in the top 10 of draftable players this year. He has 1 year left of eligibility, but still, I assume it would be great to get drafted so you could go back knowing what team you'd be playing for and continue to hone your skills if that's the case. But I'm sure you wouldn't mind getting drafted and actually starting your professional career at this time.
Yes, absolutely. There are many options. There are many scenarios from now until the CFL season and from now until the CIS season, which begins in late August. I'm feeling pretty confident at this point that I will get drafted, but you never know. Professional drafts are a crapshoot, for lack of a better word. And my goal still stands as getting drafted, you know, not where I'll get drafted, but I still just want to get drafted. That is my goal at this point. And then, you know, getting drafted to a professional football team in the CFL, as many will know, is only the first step in playing professional football. Now, making the active roster is a very difficult thing to do, especially as a rookie. And if there are many scenarios that could happen, I could either be offered a practice roster position if I did not make the active roster, and then I would be faced with a difficult decision of whether or not to stay on a practice roster with a CFL club, or return to the CIS and play football for the University of Toronto. Or I could make the active roster and begin my professional football career this year, which is definitely a scenario that I would love. But then also there's the possibility of a CFL football team interested in sending me back to the CIS for a developmental season and continuing to own my rights throughout that season. And as I would return to that football club next year, that scenario is also okay for me. Obviously, I always want to strive to play in the CFL. That is my number one priority. But returning to the CIS for one more year at the advice of whichever respective CFL team drafts me is not a bad situation for me, because I actually, I'm currently 7 receptions away from breaking the University of Toronto's all-time receptions career receptions record. So if I were to return to the CIS, granted I stay healthy, I'm just knocking on some wood here. If I were to return to the CIS, I would likely break that record within the first game or two. So that's definitely a positive going back. I would be able to finish my undergraduate degree, which is another positive. So there's all sorts of different scenarios that could take place over the next few months, most of which are good scenarios. The only poor scenario is if I were to get cut from a football, a CFL team, return to the CIS, and then, you know, not not get picked up again next year, which I hope is an unlikely situation, especially with the position that I'm in, and I truly believe is an unlikely situation. I do know in my heart that I will play professional football one day, whether it's this year or next year. But yeah, so a lot of scenarios, most of which I am happy with, but my number one priority does stand at playing professional football whenever I get my chance.
So my last comment or question, you can take it either way. So your major at university is human geography. Is that another way of saying reading defenses in a highfalutin way?
Well, that's an interesting question. Well, yeah, I mean, as we've talked before, the University of Toronto is a heavily academic school, something that's, internationally recognized as a pristine academic institution. So school is no joke at the University of Toronto. We have a very strong emphasis of being students first and athletes second. So publicly, I would like to say that I am a dedicated student who is an athlete on the side. But I definitely will comment on that to the point where, you know, football has been my passion and my priority throughout most of my life. I have a good average in school. I'm very content with how I'm doing in school. But the amount of time, energy, and effort that goes into being a varsity athlete is something that I think many people do not understand at how difficult it is to weigh class time, study time, essay writing time, paper, you know, exam time with practice time, film study, games, you know, and all the extra stuff, weightlifting, all the stuff on the side. It is a very busy life, and it's something that you have to balance and you have to schedule properly, because if you put too much emphasis on one, then the other will fail. And I feel like I've definitely struck a very good balance throughout my academic and athletic career. And I've had success in both categories. So I am very happy to say that I'm a strong student at the University of Toronto, but also a strong football player and hopefully a professional football player in the next month or two.
I think you will be, and I really do thank you for taking the time to join us and educate us as far as Alex Pierschelski is concerned. I think the listeners today have a great idea of who you are, and what I can say is I do detect a little bit of leadership skills, and you're such a not a laissez-faire person, but you don't let it doesn't sound like you're the type of person that pressure gets to. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show, my friend.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you all for listening. Yes, thank you so much for having me on the show. I've been a leader. I am a leader, and I take pride in that as well. Thank you so much for having me, guys. And hopefully you'll see my face pop up on draft day. And maybe we can do this again.
Argos. I'm an Argo lifer, so I know who I'm hoping drafts you.
Well, there you go.
It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Yes, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
Thank you, sir. Alex Pierschelski.
Okay, goodbye.
Probably he could end up being a top five pick before you know it. As you can tell by his personality, he's not taken aback by very much. And he's a fairly big kid, and he moves very well. And I know my folks here, if they were paying attention to who was going to be on the show, might have done some homework as far as he's concerned. And we're going to take a short break. And University of Toronto, it's made a turn, a 180 turn, as Alex mentioned. We'll be back right after this.
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, boy, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
Outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay. But in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You're going to go? I'm going to go. Go, 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 go.
There you go.
Get out of there. Get out of there. You got it. That's football Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy. CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know? I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later, Mark, see you later, Tim, see you later, and he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it, and I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
All right, there you have it, and wow, I'll tell you, we have a lot to talk about tonight, like I said, and boy, erudite for sure. Let's see, is this John's answering machine, or is it John? Is that you, John? I guess it's his answering machine. Kelly, how's it going?
Not bad, you, Frank?
Not bad. I think we got John's answering machine, or he stepped away to make a sandwich. Very good. He seemed really impressed with Saskatchewan, didn't he?
Yeah, for sure. And that's something I always talk about on the show here, and something that we always talk about in Regina is, do you want to be here? I mean, it's what got us the guys we needed to have here in the Danny Barrett and Roy Shivers era, and that's when that all started. And you know, it's a huge factor in Regina. I mean, the joke around town is we don't have the nightclubs to support, you know, some of the guys in the CFL.
Well, there you go. Also with us is Bruce John Inch. Bruce, how you doing, buddy?
Oski wee wee, gentlemen. How are we all doing tonight?
Awesome. So.
That was a great interview, Frank.
Well, thank you. A good kid, an intelligent kid, and
you know what?
Very
and
glad.
When you were talking to him, I had you on speakerphone, and I was watching. He's got. I posted it on your wall, but the
I
YouTube video, he's got the combine video up there, and he's quite
yep.
impressive. Quick feet, good hands, and you know, I was very impressed how he said he just became a receiver the year before he got went to Toronto. So that's got to be pretty impressive, man. You know, and he speaks very humbly, very, you know, very, very well done. And I wish him all the best.
Typical CFL player, right? Typical CFL player. Also, we have Christopher and Manasseh in the room. Christopher, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm awesome. Oski, wee wee.
Great. Excellent.
Well, you know, we're going to get to the conversation on CJ by CJ. So it should be interesting. And also we have, I believe, Manasseh as well in the room. Right, Manasseh?
Yes, sir. Merci beaucoup, guys. What's going on, man?
Oski wee wee. How you doing, buddy?
He's learning French because Chad Johnson's an Alouette.
Absolutely.
Quatre Vingt Cinq, baby. Quatre Vingt Cinq.
Yeah. There it is.
Wee wee.
All right. Well, you know, is there anything you guys want to add after that interview, or we'll just move on to Ocho Cinco?
The one extremely obvious point that I came out of that was he was phenomenally, what's the word? Articulate for a football player.
Yep.
I don't mean that to sound really negative of most football players, but he definitely was speaking from a very knowledgeable position, and I don't know how else to say that. It just caught me off guard.
I agree with you there. He sounded like a young Peter Dajkowski almost, very knowledgeable and very
articulate.
He used his words very, like, you know, good, better than me.
Another intelligent Polish kid.
There you go.
All right. Also with us is Mike Townsend. And I don't know if we have John or that was just a bunch of machines. Yeah, that was a machine. Close that up. Okay, so welcome to the program, Mike Townsend.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, Yoski, wee-wee, Mike.
Now, in about 20 minutes, we've got another interview, but we'll do this one together, guys. It's one of our CFL IS members. His name is A.J. Allen at 1110, and he's going to tell us how excited he is to travel to Ottawa to join the Ottawa Red Blacks at their camp to be basically considered for a position with the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, yeah. Since everybody's leaving there anyway.
Everybody's
sorry, man. I just speak the truth.
Okay.
I've been keeping up with AJ Allen, man, for the last couple of weeks, so we've been chatting on Facebook.
How impressed are you?
What position would he be trying out for?
Running back.
Yeah? Well, all the best, man, you know. Always nice to see new faces in the CFL.
Running back.
Oh, yeah, especially coming from the indoor leagues, man, you know. Hey.
That's good. Good stuff.
I've seen him play. He's pretty adept at his position. I mean, he's definitely going to push some guys, and, you know, running back is one of those positions where, you know, he might have 8 guys in camp. You know, you want a competition there, and otherwise the horses don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
well,
a great
right now,
name.
Who does Ottawa have right now? They got C.J. Waku, and who else do they have?
They got Jordan Roberts.
Yeah.
And where did he come from?
He came from the States. I think he might have been, he's like a rookie, like a fresh out of the NCAA.
Okay. So as far as veterans, they only have like who right now?
Yeah, Siobhan Walker. Right now.
Siobhan Walker.
Yeah, Siobhan. What am I saying? C.J. Walker. We're getting Gabo and him mixed up all the time. It's Friday night. I'm allowed to.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Let's begin on the positive side of the move. And I said on the air, Christopher, that you seem to have done well. You've turned a little bit of the other cheek, and you seem less hardline against you know, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, Quatre Vingt Cinq, whatever you want to call the guy, playing in the CFL. Why have you softened your position?
I haven't.
Well, it sounded to me like you did.
You're against it? I mean, I don't understand. What does that mean?
You got the floor, Christopher.
I do not disapprove of BC Lions' position with Chad Johnson. I support them, and I agree with their decision not to sign him. What Montreal does is totally up to Montreal.
And they can
do what they want.
Instead of dodging
because
that question,
their,
how about this? Is that a positive or a negative, him just coming to the CFL in general, regardless of team?
Is there a positive? There are some phenomenal positives with him coming to the CFL. America is now looking at our game. Okay?
Right.
This could there's huge ramifications that come from this. Should he be up in the CFL? That's another whole nother ball game. But him being here
is creating
a media circus. Do you want me to talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Him being up here is creating a media circus, or not so much a circus, but a frenzy. And people are talking about it, and they're talking about the CFL, and they're not only talking about it here in Canada, they're talking about it in the United States. And to me, that is a great thing for the CFL. I am a CFL fan before I am any team fan. So is it a positive for the CFL? Yes. I wish it was somebody else, but that's beside the point.
And why is that?
Because he's American?
But No. Okay, let's get Manasseh. Let's get you
no,
up
wasn't.
To speed. To put it bluntly, Chad Johnson has a bit of baggage, and that baggage is bad press. you know, with concerns with he basically got involved in the legal system with some problems with his ex-wife, which I think we can all put behind us at this point and cut the guy a break and say, you know what, that yesterday. And what I said to that comment is that as long as this guy comes up here understanding that the CFL has a real attachment to anti-violence, anti-bullying, and, you know, and Chris is basically, Christopher's in the home of, you know, the CFL's violence against women stance and how they feel about it. It came here to Toronto as well, and it's in a few other CFL cities. And there might be some concern by some that it would seem kind of hypocritical for the CFL to bring a guy like that in. But right now, he signed a two-year contract. There is no guarantee that he will, in fact, make the team. There have been less NFLers of his kind of stature and type that have not made the CFL than have. In fact, I would dare say that when and if he makes it, he will be more of an exception than the rule. And that's not to suggest that there's no reason to have him play. The man is a talented football player, and that's where we are. This has nothing whatsoever to do with him being American, because Manasse, quite frankly, to suggest that in that's a CFL atmosphere is real stupid. That's just dumb.
That was me. That was me that said that, Frank. That was me.
Oh, was
that
it you?
Manasse.
Oh, yes. Okay. Was you? Well, that was really stupid, Mike. I mean, of all the places to suggest that Americans aren't welcome, the CFL?
Well, no, I wasn't saying it like that because he's an American. I mean, everybody, ever since it happened, been downplaying this guy because of this situation. I mean, hey,
right.
Man, granted, he did him. He had a mistake. He paid for it. The dude paid for it. Let's move on for it. Now, and
yes,
everybody's comparing him to the other NFLers that came to the CFL. Andre Rison, come on, man. Andre Rison couldn't even hold Chad Johnson's jockstrap. And until everybody heard about it, a lot of people from the CFL claimed they didn't know who Chad Johnson is. All you got to do is go look at highlights of his films. Every last game from he played, Chad Johnson is a go-to guy. He could play on any team in the NFL.
You do know that Freddie Biletnikoff played in Montreal, right? And that was a pretty good
mm-hmm.
receiver. So, you know,
oh, yeah.
They do make it. They do make it. You know,
so
it's just a question.
If he can play on any team in the NFL, why isn't he?
Chris, you know why. Because of the situation with his ex-wife. And like I tell everybody, hey.
So then why should we allow him to play on any team in the CFL? If the NFL is not
like
willing to take him, why are we taking the garbage?
It's not
first of all,
we got to address that statement because Chris has made, and even Frank, you've kind of dragged the guy's name through the mud a little bit. Let's get some background on it. First of all, you guys got to realize the woman that he was married to, and for those that don't know, she was a reality star type, you know, lady that was, her behavior was always getting in fights, yelling, getting in conflicts. If you don't want to take my word for it, go ahead and go to YouTube and look a little background into the type of person that she was. And he alleged from his end that she headbutted him. That's the whole issue here. And if you take the time to look at, you know, do a little background research on the lady, you could see he's probably, I would probably take his side in the situation, to be honest with you. First of all. Secondly, the man already served his time. He did what he had to do. He paid his debt to society, so he moved on.
Exactly.
There's a countless number of players in the NFL and the CFL that just because their name isn't as big have done far worse. Adam Pac-Man Jones comes to mind. This guy has broken the law like 10 or 15 times. He's still in the NFL now, and you don't hear an uproar. You know, so
yep.
At the end of the day, it's all about the football. I mean, what he does on the field. None of us are – it doesn't really matter the guy at the end of the day. We're paying, and we're looking to see guys perform on the field. And as long as they're not out here committing felonies or harming society, then that's fine. You know, let him do what he's got to do.
And
if,
as I
if
said,
Canada allows
say,
him in the country,
all,
clearly his crime wasn't
said,
that serious.
All I said was – as long as he respects the stance that the CFL has and understands, like I'm giving Christopher credit for the fact that you know we look at it differently than the NFL. The CFL has a lot of programs that they institute and promote as sort of goodwill in the community. And all I'm saying is as long as this guy, when he's approached about it, takes the high road and says, look, I paid my debt to society, and I don't believe in what I was accused of doing is the right thing. He can say what I was accused of doing was not the right thing, as long as he toes the line and understands that here in the CFL, we care about those kinds of social issues, and he needs to beat the drum on the right side of the line. That's all. I'm not here to accuse him of anything. I'm not here to say that he, you know, shouldn't play because of his history.
Maybe you're not accusing him, Frank, but like I was telling everybody in the room for the last past week, do the homework on the guy. I mean, before y'all get to bashing, calling him this,
well, let's not worry about
them homework.
Because in this room, we do our homework and we know what's what, right? So let's talk about the football player. We know he has a history. We know that if he comes up with the team, his history is going to be dealt with, and hopefully it'll be dealt with professionally and in a reasonable manner so that we can all move on and let the guy live. You know what I mean? At some point, punishment has to stop. That's all.
That's the same thing I said. Now, let's get to Chad Johnson, the football player. I'm not talking about his legal issue because I'm done with it.
Yep.
I took up for him. Yes, I said it. I took up for him, and I do it again. Because every woman is not a victim, and I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway, Chad Johnson, the football player, he is an exceptional route runner. If anybody watched the little film that he put on, Twitter or YouTube, I forgot which one it was, the guy can still cut, the guy can still run. Even though he hasn't played football in 2 years, he's in phenomenal shape, man. He's been working out with Chris Carter and Deron Carter. And Chris Carter was the one that made the call to Jim Pop. And my thing is, if Chris Carter makes the call to Jim Pop, he has some merit in what he's saying, that the guy can still play. We're talking about
Chris
Carter.
And there isn't anything wrong with
that.
And everything they showed on YouTube and everything this week, man, it seems he did real fine in that mini camp, whatever they just had. You know, he killed it. You know, in all honesty, and he's never, as his history, he's never going to be able to live that down. Doesn't matter where you go, what team he plays for, he's always going to have his hecklers. It's always going to be brought up, you know. But history is history. What you do on the field, what you do on the field. But unfortunately, that's how us humans think. We try to nitpick at people's weaknesses. And we bring up their weaknesses, you know. Haters are haters, bud. And, you know, the more haters he has, and the more haters you have, the more fans I have. Because I have a lot more haters than I do fans. So
thank you.
That's the way it goes.
Yep. And may I add this, Frank? They say if he makes the team, Chad is going to make that team. And I can't wait for Montreal to play BC now.
Uh-oh.
I can't wait.
I can't wait till Montreal, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be good,
so,
man, when they come to Hamilton.
So when Corey Parks says he's going to check Ocho Cinco and Ocho Cinco abuses him, you're going to see why Corey Parks is only a special teams player on the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. And I guarantee you he'll be the number one selling jersey in Montreal this year, too.
Oh, yeah,
right
I'm
now.
Getting it.
Right now. There you go. Already one sold, and he's not even on the payroll yet. No, he's on the payroll now, isn't he? So
well, not really. Not really. He's not on the payroll just
doesn't
yet.
Doesn't get paid until first week of the season.
Okay.
Very
so they can always stay.
Montreal actually already posted on their Twitter account. They're already promoting his jersey. They have the jersey with his name. They have the jersey with Ocho Cinco, and then they have the jersey with the French version of Ocho Cinco on it. So
now that's what I wanted to ask. I didn't follow the guy when he was in the NFL. What does Ocho Cinco stand for?
85.
85,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
85 in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's why.
So he's a Spanish guy. Okay, cool. See?
Right.
Never knew that.
And if anybody ever watched any of the YouTube videos, he actually was a utility player. Ocho Cinco was kicking the field goals and doing kickoffs and being the kicker when the kicker was hurt. He was making field goals and doing kickoffs. So the guy got all that, you know, he got talent, man, across the field.
And
now,
he's tall, too, eh? I was watching that dude. Wow, I couldn't believe
how tall he was
the length in that dude, man.
Did you see
know?
How tall he was standing over Dave Styler when it was on
that's what
I'm.
That's exactly that's the picture I'm thinking of, man. I couldn't help laughing to myself. Holy cow, that guy's huge, man. You know, he reminds me of a Terry Grant or something. Somebody, you know, real tall.
He's going to use that big frame, man, to defend them off them defender them D-backs, man. He's
absolutely
have a heck of a year, man. He's going to have a heck of a year.
If I could add something too, just about the type of person that he is, and this is why I took it personal. Some of the negative statements is when I was in college, we were running a football camp with some of the kids from our, you know, some of the local schools, and the Vikings were hosting it, and Chad Johnson happened to be in town during that, and I just remember how so many of the other players treated the kids with like almost like they weren't even there, like they barely even, you know, looked at them. They refused to sign autographs. They were, like, totally disrespectful. And I remember Chad Johnson, like, embracing it, spending all the time with the kids, signed every kid an autograph. He stayed, like, 20 minutes behind just playing catch with the kids after we were done. And I just remember, as a person, like, he was just a humble guy that, to me, I see, like, he didn't have any of that, you know, cocky sort of, you know, prima donna attitude like some people try to accuse him of having. And after talking to him, he just came across as a genuinely good person. And so for me, I kind of found it like, you know, people out here trying to say he's this and that, when people who've never even met the guy, and they wouldn't, if they did, they'd realize he's not that type of person. Because Randy Moss was there, and Terrell Owens was there. Those guys were your prima donna, you know, those guys were the most arrogant people I've ever met. But he was completely the total opposite of those two. So I just felt like I just need to put that out there as far as Chad Johnson.
Listen, Manasseh.
Yeah, if anything, actually, as a Cleveland Browns fan, I come from it from a little bit different perspective. I just didn't like him as a player, and it's because he was good. It was more, you know, hate the guy that's killing you kind of thing more than anything.
Right.
But as far as his personal stuff, I'm definitely over it, and I can put it aside. I think the CFL and Chad Johnson can coexist. I mean, we've been through this before. He's not the same as, you know, a Raheem Ismail or, you know, a Tony Rice or any one of these guys that comes to us young. He's an established guy. He's different in that regard as far as marketability down south. And, you know, it's really... You know, I expect CFL is the best football in the world, the group on Facebook, to jump 500 people by Monday, you know, like that's how big this is.
It's very big. It's very big. And guys, isn't this basically what we've been talking about since all of you have joined us on this program, where the attention of the league has spread in the United States, and I think Chad Johnson is an example of players that are going, hang on a second, maybe I can't play in the NFL, but I'd like to try this league. It actually looks like it might be a challenge because, you know, he's not coming here just thinking that he's going to tear this place up. I believe the competitive desire to be here has to do with him believing that this is worth taking part in. This guy's already made a lot of money in life. You know, does he really need any more money? And also, has he not seen how many players are going to the NFL from the CFL? And I think he understands that maybe he can develop a little more cachet in the NFL for what he does here in the CFL, which is basically, guys, what we've been talking about all year.
Right, Frank. And you know what? I think Chad Johnson already knows his stint in the NFL is done.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to go out the way it ended. So, you know, he figured, hey, if I go to the CFL, resurrect a little career, what I have left, then, you know, I can have a little legacy. Stand, you know, I might not be the best player in the CFL, but I could compete and I could still play at a high standard. I mean, because right now, man, if you think about it on paper, man, Montreal has the best receiving core in the league. And, I mean, and really –
by far.
You right now, man, you got to talk about them, man, chasing the Grey Cup. I mean, you know, we like to see what Troy Smith do. And another thing that I was going to add, if I was Montreal right now, I knew it might be a gamble, but either Nesswinder and the other quarterback they have.
Yeah, Tanner Marsh.
Man, Tanner Marsh. I'm trading one of them guys, man. I'm trying to get Kevin Glenn.
Yeah, I don't think
Nesswinder
actually. Yeah, he's not with the club anymore.
I'm trying to make a package to get Kevin Glenn just in case
Detroit
Smith
regardless,
don't work out.
Yeah, regardless, the point is quite clear, Mike. You definitely believe that it would be advantageous for Montreal to have that experienced quarterback that could help them to get to the Grey Cup.
Yes, sir.
And it wouldn't hurt Smith at all.
Yeah, if I could add, like, to your point about people in America taking note of this, I've had several people that I've been trying to talk to for the last year to try to check out the TFL, you know, diehard NFL people that just totally were just, like, not having any of that. And since Chad Owens got signed, my phone has been blown up with people wanting to know about the CFL, when can they watch games, when is Montreal on TV, you know, because, you know, I don't know, in Canada you guys may not be aware of this, but Chad Johnson has a huge fan base here. And, like, growing up for me, years in the mid-2000s, I was in high school, and he was by far the most popular player. Like, you know, I got people on Facebook hitting me up who would never even give the CFL any time of their day, that are now talking about they're rooting for Montreal and they're going to be watching every game and they can't wait to see Chad do something. So it's huge, man. And anyone, I don't see there's any possible negative from this. The CFL needs the publicity badly, and especially now during the NHL playoffs. I mean, think about it. The fact that this even took headlines is just a milestone. What other move could the CFL have had that would have grabbed any attention during the NHL playoffs? I mean, think about it.
Well, it's not just that, Manasseh. It's not just that. It's that Montreal's the only team in Canada in the playoffs. So, you know, it's a pretty bright light that's shining on Montreal just from a hockey perspective. They've got all the attention. There ain't nobody else in the NHL playoffs from any of the other cities. So, you know, it does speak well for the move. And, you know, I don't think that the rest of the teams aren't taking notice, because if there are players who are maybe not available to the NFL for various reasons, we've always agreed, and nobody's going to argue this point, the most talented players for the most part are in the NFL. The better game is in the CFL. So there's nothing hurts us as CFL fans to bring in guys who may not be quite good enough to play in the NFL, because as far as I'm concerned, you put them in the environment that this guy, Chad Johnson, if he can get the waggle going and if he can, you know, get the rhythm going, use the wide field to his advantage, he's going to love this league. How can he not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's going to start talking to all his buddies, too.
And
you know,
he carries a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he's going into the perfect situation. You know, if he came into Montreal and Montreal wanted him to, say, be like the number one guy, the go-to guy, I think he would have struggled, because he would have consistently went against the best defensive back on the opposing defense. But now he into an offense that's got three legitimate star receivers in Jamel Richardson, S.J. Green, and Daron Carter. He's going to get one-on-one matchups with the third, fourth, maybe even the fifth worst defensive back on the opposing defense every single game. And because of that, he's going to be able to take that guy to school, man. I wouldn't be surprised, I said on Facebook, he's going to get so many great deep passes from Troy Smith, because he's going to get that one-on-one with the nickel back just right up the seam, and all Troy Smith has to do is just lob that up, and he's going to get to it.
Wow.
Because defenses are going to be so locked in on those other three. I mean, he's going to benefit tremendously from just being in that system. So,
that's
a scary
team. It's not just that, Manasseh. Chris Carter was doing his son a favor, too. You know, nothing like dropping that guy on the team. It's going to give his son a little bit of daylight, you know, in his routes back up in the field.
Did you even mention Brandon London? Like,
there you go.
Right. Brandon London's the forgotten guy now. I mean,
that
just shows you how talented they are, because Brandon London would be like the second best receiver on most of the teams, like Ottawa, for example. They had him; he'd be their number two guy.
Winnipeg,
you know,
Saskatchewan,
and then you got to also remember too, man. Depending on what type of packages they run and what different plays, man. You still got Sticky Salah out there, man. That can still get out there and make some plays.
Second down, Dave.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go-to guy.
So,
Dave is still playing. That's crazy, man. Dude's like 35, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
37.
He doesn't have to run more than 10, 12 yards.
Right.
But you know
but
what?
But he does
though?
Have the best they, hands in the league, though. You got to give him that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Dave Stella, man. Dave Stella is good for goal line defenses. Goal line stance, get him out there. You can give him the ball on goal line, man. You can throw it right to
wow.
him.
Oh, they have the more, they have to have the best receiving core in like the last couple of years in the CFL. Like think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Stella and Brandon London are like their fifth and sixth guy on their depth chart. I mean, think about how crazy that is. I mean, they have way too much talent.
Okay, guys, I'm straight away about on this conversation, and we're gonna have to shift our gears when we come back. When we come back, we've got us a future CFLer, and I tell you, it's gonna be interesting.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Go, Frank. Go, Frank. There you go, Frank.
Earlier we had Alex Perchelski on, who is a high draft pick in the future with a CFL team, one of the higher picks that we'll be having. Joining us now is A.J. Allen, a friend of the show. And, A.J., I tell you, we start talking about Chad Johnson, and time just disappears. I owe you an apology. Thank you for calling in. And so, A.J., you're going to Ottawa. Have you ever been to Canada?
Oh, I haven't been to Canada, but the situation with Ottawa, I was supposed to go down there to Ottawa, but I had bad, like, the flights wasn't even going to the camp that I was supposed to go to. But I am attending the Edmonton Eskimos rookie camp for the next Tuesday.
Oh, okay, so it didn't work out in Ottawa?
Supposed to go, but the flights here, I'm in, like, in a small town. Where the flights, like, the coaches knew I was coming. They was ready for me to come. But I couldn't get no flights out there. And I couldn't take a train because I would have missed everything. So I couldn't even attend.
No worries. I'm sure Mike might have picked you up and brought you there. He knows the ropes.
Oh, man. Hey, what's up, AJ? What's going on, man?
I'm just getting ready to head out to this rookie camp for Edmonton.
Good luck, man. Wish you all the best, bro. Wish you all the best, man.
AJ, Edmonton's not a bad place to make it. If you can make it in Edmonton, as long as you're okay with cold weather later in the season, they've got a brand new coach. In fact, you've talked to us before that you have connections in Edmonton. You could do worse.
Yeah, that's Chris Jones is my reference. One of my reference in the CFL. He already know all about me because the time he was with Calgary Stampeders before he left, went to Toronto. Just the players that brought in a few NFL guys. I was making them look really bad, and I've been talking to him for a minute. I was supposed to go to Canada, I think in 2012. I didn't have a passport at that time. He was just coming in. He was going to bring me up there to work out with the team. Like for 2 or 3 days to get a, you know, an open shot, because he already know how I am. He told me like a few, I think a month ago, I come up there to the rookie camp and kill the 1-on-1s in 7-on-7, like he seen before. I was signing that paper for training camp.
Well, you haven't given up on being considered by the Red Blacks, have you?
No, anybody would take me. I'm not picky about who I go to. Just want to go in and play. I really don't care who I play for.
How does it impress you? Because you're a great guy to ask this question. The fact that Chad Johnson is joining the CFL, does that make it more interesting? And do you think that helps from a player's perspective, knowing that he's willing to come here, makes it more interesting for you guys to come here?
Yes, I like Chad Johnson. I love Chad Johnson. Route running skills because. Chad Johnson is an incredible receiver. He really never been in trouble. He's a good player. Going to Canada is going to make him even better after 1 or 2 years in the NFL. So I think Chad will be a good fit for the CFL and for the receiver who's coming up in John Galafrin from Chad Johnson, because I also was training with a receiver coach on the West Coast in California on my route running skills. So knowing from Coach Collins and knowing how Chad played, the Montreal can be a real good team offense.
Well, Well, there are a few teams in the CFL that are, I don't want to say they're weak in at the running back position, but guys, there's a few teams that could use a running back, especially a running back slash punt returner.
Right. That's what Coach Don Lightman, because I can play receiver. If they need me to run back, I go to a running back, or I'm a true punt returner and kick returner. So that's why he brought me in as well, too. So I talked to a few of the teams and my agent, but I just know Coach Jones real well, so that's why I chose to go to Edmonton.
So you know him real well?
Oh yes, I know Coach Jones.
Well,
yes.
You should hook him up with us. I mean, I had him here. I interviewed him a few times while I was here in Toronto with him. You should have him call the show. Tell us all about you.
Okay, I can talk to him.
I'm just kidding.
I can talk to him.
Yeah. Tell him we're interested in having him on the show. Want to congratulate him on his. Since you're close to him, tell him we're happy for him that he got his head coaching job. He was very patient as far as becoming a head coach. I think last year, in the middle of last season, he decided he wanted to be a head coach, and it all came true for him in Edmonton. And I don't think there's a better place to coach than Edmonton. I don't think there are. In deference to Kelly Bale, I mean, Edmonton fans are as good as any in the CFL.
That's like last year.
It's not a bad place to go. Hey, Kelly, you would be willing to admit that, right? That Edmonton fans, right? They're as good as any.
They're fantastic.
Right.
And the other great thing about Edmonton is they've got the probably the best training facilities at the stadium, probably the best recovery and medical staff in the league. And they've also got, you know, as Frank says, one of the best fan bases and one of the most entertaining bang-for-your-buck CFL experiences in the league.
Yep, CFL. Well,
they have a knothole gang there, right?
Yeah.
And then, see, too, AJ, you go to Edmonton, man, you be playing with one of the best wide receivers in the league, man, number two. Fred Stamps, man.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Stamps.
I saw his highlight. Like, he's real good, too.
Oh, man, Fred Stamps is a class act, man. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I'll be happy to go to his rookie camp, kill everything I have to do, and go to the training camp and learn from the best.
And why not?
Where did you go to school, AJ?
I went to University of Central Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
Every time I say that, everybody like, what's that? Well, I just tell people that's what same school Scottie Pippen went to for basketball.
Yep. Yes, sir. Scottie Pippen.
I haven't really talked to y'all in a minute, but, you know, like, in March, I had an invitation invite workout to the Bears. And I ran a 4.46 for him. Receiver coach was liking him on routes, and so I had good feedback from him.
Right on. That's a good deal, man. So, you know, before it's too long, man, you're gonna catch on with somebody, man, because you're getting a lot of attention from the CFL and a couple of NFL teams. Because I was following you a little bit on Facebook when you was talking about your mini camps and rookie camp that you're going to, man. So you got a lot of people watching you, man. So congratulations, man, and good luck on getting to Edmonton, man. Wish you all the best, bro. Keep up the good work. Somebody sign you.
I really appreciate it. I just hope the Dallas Cowboys coach Keith Queen just moved up to the special team coach. It's another reference of mine, and that's my dad's favorite team. So he called me back for that workout.
AJ, where are you at right now? Where are you at right now?
Right? I'm at Pennsylvania.
Okay. No, because, I'm disappointed that you're not going to make it to Ottawa. Does that mean now that that option is closed, or is it just a question of you getting there?
It's just a question. I mean, getting there because the Ottawa team already had their rookie camp. So because of my other reference, Mark Nelson, he's a defensive coordinator over there, so they already knew about me. Snyder did too. So the point with me to get there, it was just I'm in like the place where I'm not like in Chicago no more, where there's no big city, easy airport. I'm close to Erie, Pennsylvania.
What about, do I have to drive you to Ottawa?
I will come up.
Do I have to drive you to Ottawa?
Right.
You will.
I mean, serious. I tell you what.
Road trip. Let's do it.
You get your behind to Toronto. I'll drive you to Ottawa.
I'm 2 hours from Toronto.
Can you get to Toronto?
There ain't no problem. My agent, he'll send me there. That's not the problem.
It's getting you to Ottawa that's the problem.
Right. If I can work out for Toronto, I'll work out for Toronto. It's not a problem in getting nowhere.
I don't think I can get you a workout with Toronto because Toronto's not doing anything right now. I think they're asleep.
No, they're not doing nothing.
They ain't doing nothing. I have no... What? I'm an Argo fan. What can I say? I tell it like it is, though. I'm not afraid to tell the truth. Here's the thing. I'm just saying. You get your ass to Toronto. I'll drive you to Ottawa.
Okay, I could do that.
I got a question for you real quick.
Okay.
What's going on with the Chicago Blitz, man? You still a member of Chicago Blitz?
Put it like this, man. I'm still a member. Everybody still showed me love. The Knife Man Club, everybody still loves me. I still talk to everybody. But the team is doing well, especially the defense. My boy Marvin Johnson from Oregon Duck. He over there, number three at safety. So, you know, they doing it good. They released a few players. I don't know what the offense is looking like, but
He didn't get cut off, did he?
No, I'm still here.
No, he's still there.
Okay.
It's just the funny sounds that the phone makes.
Okay.
Yeah, but the defense of the Chicago Blitz is ranked number one in the CIFL.
Right. I've been reading up on them, man. I haven't really caught a game this year because I'm too busy right now. But I try to watch a lot of games on YouTube and catch highlights. I was just wondering if he was still a member, still playing. You know.
Nah, I kind of want to take off. Like indoor, it's okay I need to be outdoor.
I feel you. I give it to you.
I had three or four more teams off this contract to play, but I just want to play outdoor because the way I play, I just like, and in CFL, it would be real easy for me because of the way I feel. I do, when the ball in my hand, I just turn to a playmaker. So I just love outdoor.
There you go. I love that confidence and that cockiness in the player, man.
Absolutely. Oski Wee, I'm out and try for the black and gold. We got a training camp at the end of June. Three-day mini camp.
I can't hear you.
You should come down to
Hamilton
at the end of June.
Camp.
If Frank could give you a ride.
Oh, okay.
That'd be easy, buddy. If you need a ride from Toronto to Hamilton, I could do that for you. No problem.
And that's on the 28th, 29th, and 30th of this month at Mac University.
AJ, just listen. We'll do what we can to get you there. I mean, I don't know if I can hit up Mike to get you from one place to the next. At the end of the day, boy, you know, we're more than glad to help you out. You're more than just a player. You're one of our friends. You're one of the friends of the show and the friends of the CFL is group. So that gives you special.
Yes, sir. And I really appreciate that, too.
If you think I'm kidding, you're wrong. If you can get your behind here within a reasonable amount of time to help me get you to Ottawa, I'll get you to Ottawa. If you want to take up Bruce's suggestion, which is, you know, get to Hamilton, I'd be more than glad to drive you to McMaster. Not a problem. When you're rich and famous, all I want from you is maybe nothing. I don't want nothing.
I'll still throw something at you. It don't even matter.
You know, all that matters to me is that you remember the show, and you always are a friend of the show. When you need us and when you can help us, it's all that matters, man. That's
yes,
it.
Sir. I don't care. I know I'm 2 hours from Toronto. In Toronto, they want me to come up there. I'm 2 hours away. I got my passport ready, so I'm ready for anything.
Do we need a passport? Do Americans need a passport to come to Canada? I don't think we have that rule. I think you guys have.
Yeah,
no, you can have a passport or an enhanced driver's license.
Right. Right.
Or the passport. Or a little passport card. I heard about some. It's a free agent combine dealing with instant scouting. It's dealing with all the CFL teams. It's in Ontario, where players in shorter pass and going against everybody finding the CFL team May 7th. I don't know if y'all heard anything about that.
It's probably somewhere in southern Ontario. It could be in London. It could be in Hamilton. It could be in Toronto.
Yeah, it's London.
Yep.
There you go. Well, dude, I can get you there, too. Not a worry.
Oh. Well, I'll be up there.
You get your behind at Toronto or Oakville or Mississauga, I'll get you there.
I heard about a lot of teams, a lot of coaches, everybody always told me that if you knew somebody in Canada where you could just stay and go up there, it's easy to work out for a team and then just, you know, be in the U.S.
There you go. You get the invitation, we'll get you there. Trust me when I say that.
Okay, I can do that. I know most teams allow you to come. Yeah, I heard that's what I was saying. Like, most teams allow you to come.
Just don't expect me to drive you to BC. I don't want to see Christopher too soon. I want to wait till the Great Cup.
Oh, Lordy.
That's an inside joke,
Al.
Chris still
here,
he's quiet. He's gone, man. He's gone. I called
him.
He's here.
I'm here.
Is he? Where are you?
Oh, okay.
Silent.
Yeah, okay. Because I called you, right?
You did.
I didn't wait for you to tell me you needed me to call you. You see that? Just give me a chance to get used to how it works.
I appreciate that.
We learn from our mistakes, Christopher.
Some of us do.
I like to think I do. So, AJ, your support of the CFL is the best football in the world. You have 100% our support. I know that if Mike could do more, he would do more, but one thing I guarantee you, that you have all the emotional support that Mike has to offer, you have it. And I think you have it for most of the people in this room, and I know that you have it from the people who are part of that, you know, who are part of that group. I take a lot of pride in being part of that group, and I take a lot of pride in being the host of this show, because if it wasn't for the people that are either in that group or became members of that group, this show wouldn't mean anything. So I'm sure that if there was a little help that you need, I'm sure anybody in this room would offer that help to you without question.
Well, I appreciate that, y'all.
Oski wee wee.
There you go.
Sir.
And Bruce John Inch, who doesn't drive.
Oski wawa.
All right. So, you're welcome. We're going to move on with the rest of the show after this break, and wish the best to our wonderful friend AJ Allen, who's willing to receive, return punts, and run like heck to get the yards needed to win a game, and that's what matters. It really is all it's about. We'll be back right after this. Thank
you know,
man.
What being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Yeah, we took a couple of short breaks because we had some long interviews today, and I apologize to the guys in the room, but I found it very interesting who we were talking to. AJ was going to Ottawa, and that broke down actually since I started talking to him about being on the air. And, of course, we still have a few important people whose opinions we consider very important. And, of course, Mr. CFL is Mike Townsend. Also, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, Bruce John Inch. Kelly, Saskatchewan, is everything beautiful? Bale. And, of course, Sea Lion fan, don't forget it. I'll be owning the team soon, Christopher Jones. Was that a good enough was that okay?
That's awesome.
There you go. Okay, let's talk about, we've got upwards of around 25 minutes. Have we worn out the conversation about Chad Johnson? We move on
yes.
to other things?
Let's move on to something else. Yes, sir,
okay.
Let's move on.
Here's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And it actually is an extension of the Chad Johnson conversation. Who do you guys think would be a great fit who's either recently retired from the NFL or seems to be, or anyone, any big name you see? You know, we've talked about a certain quarterback, and we can all assume now that his career is basically now college broadcasting. I hope you know who I'm talking about. Played for Denver and of course, the Jets.
A guy that
are there any
played
players?
All the time.
There you go. Are there any other players in the NFL that you see would offer great PR? Because essentially, you know, that's what Chad Johnson offers, is great PR for the CFL. And I think we can all agree that the CFL is at a point now where, you know, the American public, football public, is becoming more and more aware of the CFL as much as the players who play football in the U.S. are becoming more and more aware of the CFL.
Right. And I'm going to tell you,
go ahead, Mike.
No, whoever was talking first, what it is, I don't be cutting you off. It's like we just end up talking together. So whoever was about to go first, go ahead. I'll wait.
No,
okay.
It's okay. I'll wait, too. You want to go, Christopher? Go. Jump.
Was it me?
No, it was me, Frank. It was me.
Oh,
I just
Kelly.
I just wanted to say, yeah, there's a couple quarterbacks on my mind that get mentioned every once in a while online, and you know, the first one I'll start with is recent Minnesota Viking Josh Freeman. He's a big, rangy kind of quarterback for a CFL, but a lot of people have, you know, kind of likened his, attributes to being somewhat similar to some CFL quarterbacks of the past. Now, another name is a lot bigger profile than Josh Freeman, and you want to talk about a guy with a checkered past, how about Michael Vick?
Don't even go.
Wow. Wow.
I've heard his name mentioned.
We love our dogs in Canada. I don't know if we can handle him.
I'll stick my dog on him like a coon,
hey.
Man. Boom!
I've heard his name mentioned, and if you want to talk about a guy who's done everything right since he got in trouble, it's Michael Vick. I mean, he hasn't messed up yet. And, you know, if you're giving one guy a second chance, I don't think you can turn your back on another.
Yeah, I thought he was still in the NFL.
But Michael Vick,
well,
yeah, he's signed with the Jets.
He's been released, hasn't he? I believe
he
signed with the Jets today.
He signed with the Jets.
Oh, okay. All right,
and,
well, let's say that doesn't work out. I mean, his name has been mentioned.
Right, but and also I'm going to go back to what you were saying, Kelly. Josh Freeman signed with the Giants. He's going to be Eli Manning's backup. Now,
right.
a guy that comes to mind for me that would be perfect for the CFL, and actually he would benefit for playing with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I don't know if it would happen now because I got Chad Simmons, Sidney Rice.
Yeah.
Sidney Rice would be perfect for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Yep. Receiver for the Seahawks. he'd be perfect. He'd be perfect in a Saskatchewan offense, man. Darian Durant, deep ball. Somebody can go up top and get it. He'd be perfect in a Saskatchewan Rough Rider offense.
Yeah.
How about Terrell Owens?
Terrell Owens, he should have came to the CFL a couple years ago when he was linked to Toronto, but they couldn't get no deal for him.
Do you think he's fit to come back, though? What's he doing right now?
Well, he's too busy running a bowling league, and I think he's just basically like, hey, I'm out of football. I'm about to just enjoy life and, you know, move on.
Oh, all the best to him then, if that's what he decides. Hey.
Dancing with
Nothing
the stars.
Nothing I like better than T.O. and T.O.
Yes, sir. Because yes, sir. He was linked to Toronto a couple of years ago, and he said he wouldn't mind playing in Toronto because Toronto was a great city. But I don't think they could have. They didn't really get a good deal, or they couldn't come up with the money issues. That's when Toronto was struggling. Because I actually was talking about it in the CFL room that he'd be a good fit for the Argos.
Yeah. See, that's what I don't understand. These people that come to the CFL from the NFL and they're worried about the money. Like, don't they understand? CFL, we're not about the players aren't about the money. It's about playing the game. Like the top CFL guy, the guy on the practice roster makes more than him, man, in the NFL. So that's what I'll never understand. If you're coming to the CFL, expect to make less money.
But you know what? You never know, man. With him seeing his boy Chad Ocho getting to mini camp, I mean, you never know what might happen. If Terrell Owens is in shape and he's still working out, I mean, you can bring him in for a couple of years ago when he wasn't playing, guys like Arlen Bruce and a couple of guys for the BC Lions wanted Wally Buono to put him on a practice roster, but they were stacked, man. They didn't need T.O. He was stacked, so you know it would have been a waste of time. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen within the next couple of days or a week or two, man. It's the CFL. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Speaking of Arlen Bruce, anybody pick him up yet?
Nope.
All right.
He's done.
Good.
He might end up somewhere.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
He might end up somewhere.
You know what?
He's
a great player, but to me what you do off the field means a lot, you know. And what he did off the field was just whatever. Let that be.
Yep.
Got that right.
You know, but as far as other NFL guys, oh, yeah, as I mentioned, I think it was Monday that I mentioned Trent Richardson. You might can see him in the CFL because he's not getting no buzz around the NFL. So, I mean, you know, which he'd be a good running back for the CFL, pounder, run up the middle, run off the sides. North, south, east, west runner. I mean, his game is fit for the CFL.
Yeah.
He don't have to be
the
primary ball carrier. Yeah, he doesn't have to be the primary ball carrier.
He'll run you right into last place.
That's a good one.
Yes, really, really good.
Write that one down. He'll run you right into last place. Okay, got it.
Does that mean he'll be playing for the Argos?
Oh. That's very good, Frank. I'm glad you can be self-deprecating.
Is Manasseh still on board?
No, he left a long time ago.
Oh, he did? Okay, I wanted to ask him something about his Vikings because I wanted to know what was going on with Christian Ponder. Was he being released or what? I don't know what was going on with that.
I have a big thing where I have both an AFC and an NFC team, and the Vikings are my NFC team. So what were you wondering, Mike?
With Christian Ponder, was he released from the Vikings? Because he would be a good quarterback in the CFL.
Yeah, he's still under contract, and, you know, my other team, the Browns, these two teams are teams that perpetually have guys that have been talked about in a CFL role. Tim Couch couldn't cut it in Cleveland, and you know, people talked about him maybe playing north of the border, and some other guys, Colt McCoy. A lot of people said, you know, Colt McCoy is kind of a little bit of a you know, an archetype for quarterback in the CFL. And, you know, that's a guy that's still on the radar. I mean, he's a young man. He's, what, 27 years old?
Yes, yes.
So, you're right.
Ahead. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off because I thought you were done. And Frank everybody, the newly signed receiver that the Saskatchewan got, Chaz Schillings. If y'all don't know anything about him, man, I need to look him up on YouTube. This guy is 6'4", 225, 230. He's a big target. So he's going to be an upgrade from Weston Dressler, which y'all lost. You see Chaz Schillings play, man, you're getting a good receiver. He's going to be game.
He's about the size of Emmanuel Arsenault.
Yes, yes. He is game ready. He is a former Detroit Lion. I was mad when the Lions cut him. It became a numbers game. But he's a good ball player, man. Y'all about to get a game ready receiver. Darren Durant is going to be throwing some long balls.
I heard a rumor that they may already be working together.
Uh-huh. I'm telling you. Chaz Schillings is the real deal.
Spring ball in. Yeah.
Yep.
So
that's what the Riders like to do is they like to start things as early as possible, and still being mindful of the fact that they have to play into late November. But there's a lot of guys making connections right now, and Schillings is one that's been kind of targeted as somebody who has a lot of potential to crack the 46-man roster every week.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce, you had a comment you wanted to throw in?
No, I forgot now. Sorry.
It only about 10 seconds, 5 seconds ago, man.
Short-term memory, bud. Gone.
Boy, no kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, anything going on out there in B.C.?
In what regards? Is it in players?
Yeah, anything. I mean, any football news.
We're currently in talks with Khalif Mitchell. Returning to BC, so
that one
that's
hurts.
Interesting.
That
I know.
One hurts because I wanted him. He was going to be on the show, and all of a sudden he's not answering my calls anymore.
That's because you're going to abuse him.
Hmm.
That's because you're going to abuse him about not going back to TO.
No.
But wasn't he supposed to get like an NFL tryout or something like that? That's the reason why
he got a couple of NFL tryouts. He was released by Toronto to seek the NFL. He had a couple of tryouts. Nothing panned out for him. So he wants to come back to the CFL and his team of choice, because he is totally free to do whatever he wants. He wants to come back to BC. He never wanted to leave BC. So I think that, you know, his shenanigans in BC were ridiculous, and he got shown the door, rightfully so. But his maturity came out in Toronto, and he played some awesome football, and he was a rock on the defense for T.O. And this is where Wally will give you forgiveness. So, you know, there's a good possibility he is coming back to B.C.
Yep.
He wants to play here. It's whether or not Wally's going to let him.
You know what? I'm all in for second chances.
Yep.
Two chances. No, this isn't baseball. No three strikes. Second right. Strike you've got. You know.
Well, if Khalif Mitchell he's matured and he's moved on, hey, give him a second chance, Wally. Let him play.
We'll see how it goes.
If it was the other way around and he was coming to Toronto, Christopher would be the first one talking conspiracy.
About what?
About him coming to Toronto.
We traded them to Toronto.
No, never mind.
Never mind. Hey, man, on a positive note, I got a call from my season ticket ref, and I'm invited to a special media whatever on this coming Tuesday at the Sheraton Hotel, where they're going to have some press release. So I'll have to let you guys know how that went. So I'm all excited about that, actually. I've never been invited to something like this.
Nice. I'm happy for cool. you. I, in fact, mentioned it to my representative at the Argos, wondering why I'm not getting those kinds of invitations as an Argo fan in season
ticket.
Yeah,
absolutely, and especially for the promotion that you do for the Argonauts. It's like, you know, First thing, to be honest, the first CFL team I think of when I think of your show is John Argonauts, because you're whatever you guys call yourself, an Argo fan
Argo
for
life.
Argo life, right. So, I don't know. Argonauts would have less fans if it wasn't for you, Frank. That's all. And John. Where's John tonight?
Making a sandwich.
Making a sandwich.
Wow, man.
Like Kelly said, a triple decker.
Absolutely. Great minds think alike. But,
maybe we can keep the show on at your 10 p.m. time slot then, because we moved it back to 9 p.m. for John, and then John doesn't seem to show up for them anymore.
Matters not. He's a real busy guy right now.
We love you, John, if you're listening in or if you're listening to
Of course you do. I'm just making sure, just curious to make things a little easier out west here.
Oh, yeah. Well, what time is it there now?
Right now it's 10 to 9.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. It's 10 to 12.
So this is a perfect time frame for me. 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock is great. 6 p.m. is just too close to business hours. It's a
chore
for me to do it.
And for the
community. All right. Shout out to John Granger, man. We missed him on the show tonight. Shout out to John Granger, y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll go suck, buddy.
Shout out to Rob Emery, too, who we had earlier, but he must have disappeared.
Right. Okay, shout out to Rob.
Yeah, Rob, it was good to hear from him tonight.
For sure. Always is.
Well, he was very interested in the Chad Johnson conversation.
But, took us too long to get there.
That's hey, okay. It was very interesting having those two gentlemen on tonight. I really liked the first guy, man.
And it will continue. You're going to get a chance to meet picks before they're drafted. I love that.
Right.
I love
that. Oh, it's excellent.
I just hooked up with the first guest there on Twitter, so I'll start following him now.
I've got to tell you, this kid was the most erudite. For those of you that missed the Alex Chelsky interview, he was the most erudite player that I've had, especially a young lad, because these guys are, early 20s at the latest. And he was very erudite, and you could tell that he's very schooled in what he's doing. And I meant this sincerely, guys. University of Toronto disappeared as far as football is concerned in the CIS. And it is really nice, especially a guy who used to do the play-by-play of CIS football. It does my heart good to know that they're back. I go back in the days of, you guys may not even remember, a kid named Dan Faraday. That's where I go back.
You're older than Dirk.
I probably am older than
I heard the interview.
The next best thing to Dirk.
I heard the interview, man, and that guy, man, he was very articulate. And I mean, he done his homework, man. I was sitting there like, wow, this guy done his homework before he even went to the combine, man. And I was just blown away. And then I lost signal, and I was like, oh, dang it. So I was listening, and he was very articulate, and he done his homework, and he sounded like a very smart kid, man.
He sounded smart and with confidence. He had confidence in himself, which I really liked.
Yeah, but
like.
He wasn't arrogant or egotistical.
That's right, exactly. He had
confidence. Very humble about himself.
Absolutely.
But he's a typical CFL player, isn't he? Isn't he a typical CFL, prototypical player? And you know what, guys? I guess I'm going to tell you right now. Last year I was doing two players a night, two draft picks a night. This year, because of certain people that are on my show and to ensure that they at least get some time on the program, we step back from two a night to one a night. So I just want you to know I have been thinking about you, and I truly respect and appreciate your contribution to the program. This program has grown in the sense that it is a CFL show for the fans. And CFL is, thank you, Mike, is a wonderful combination with this program. I think they, and I said it today when I when I posted it and I pinned it on the room. And I know that, Chris, you took it off my pin, but that's okay. I'm okay with it. The big thing is, the most important thing is that we love the game of CFL football. And I know that I appreciate what you guys have to contribute. And it makes it easier for my contacts that give me the CFL prospective draft pick to give me the players that we need to hear from, because I love – like, I have some first-round draft choices from last year, and I listen to the interviews, and I just I listen to these guys, and I'm going, God, I want to play this interview for them when they're an all-star in the CFL, you know, and basically – get a kick out of it, right? And you know what? It is so great, and I don't mean to harp on it, but I'm going to. I love the CFL game. I love the CFL players, both American and Canadian players, because one thing that Canadian and American players have in common in the CFL is they love playing football. And they love doing it with a big crowd. And they love doing it, as we heard A.J. Allen say, on the grass and on the field. And you know what? That does my heart good, to hear kids like A.J. Allen, who are up-and-comers, talk about how important it is to them to play in the CFL. Because as a fan of the CFL, there's nothing I like more than watching the talent level rise. You know, the interest level, I think it moves automatically when the talent level rises. For me, though, I feel sometimes like we are in on a wonderful secret that not everyone that could know about the CFL knows about it. And so sometimes I wish people wouldn't talk about it so much, because then our secret is out. And it doesn't matter whether you were born under the Canadian flag or the American flag. We all love the CFL for the same reason, because it's a lovely game that we all enjoy and get a kick out of watching. And that's the most important thing. And the better, you know, even this thing we had about Chad Johnson today, I know some of us feel, and I also feel, that it might be dangerous to have a guy like that be the focal point for the game. But really, what it comes down to is whatever enhances the image of the game and attracts more people to at least check out the game can't be a bad thing.
A little bit of danger is good.
Little
bit. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. It's only going to promote it. Absolutely.
Yep. And that's the important thing.
That's all that matters. Nothing else matters after that point.
He's going to be a model citizen. He just want to play. And it's going to be a fantastic year for all teams.
Absolutely. But on that note, man, I notice we only have a couple minutes left. I just want to wish each and every one of you guys a very happy Easter. Hopefully you'll be able to spend time with the family. If not, then...
A happy Easter?
Well, what else am I supposed to say?
Are you into yeast or something? Are you trying to get dough to rise? Is that your thing?
You lost me, man.
Yeaster?
It's okay, Bruce.
On that note, y'all, before I go, I want to say happy Easter to y'all also. And shout out to my baby Sid. Shout out to my girl Eb. And rest in peace, Anjanette Cannon. We're going to miss you.
Yep. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Easter, and remember that whether you believe in the guy that gave his life for all of us, whether you believe in that or not, I said this on Facebook, the important thing to know is that from time to time we begin to realize that there is a lot of unselfishness in the world, and put other people first. And that, to me, is the greatest in as far as the human experience is concerned. For those of us that are able to give to others before we give to ourselves, again, I say thank you to them. And for those of us that have the ability and or the willingness to give first to others rather than ourselves, on behalf of those, I say thank you. It's a great way to go.
Right back at you, my friend. Right back at you.
Right back at you.
Much love, Ty Cat.
Absolutely. every each one of you, and everybody listening in on the show, everybody else on the CFL fan page. I love that page, man. I go on there quite often, and I learn a lot of things, man. Thanks, Christopher, for all the things that you do for that page, man. Number one, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Number one, man.
Have a great evening, man. Happy Easter.
Let's you guys too, man. We'll talk to you on Friday, I guess.
Monday.
For sure.
Monday. Today's Friday.
You too, Bruce.
Okay. Peace out.
See you, Bruce.
Hey, let's take some more time to shamelessly promote CFL is the best football in the world on Facebook. Let's get this thing over 3,000 by Monday night and just do our best. Make the CFL the single greatest topic on Facebook one day on a Friday night this season.
You did it live. We're now on tape. Mike Christopher Kelly, gentlemen, thank you for your contribution to making the CFL on the internet always the most important thing that's on the internet. And I got to tell you guys, it's always a pleasure working with you guys, dealing with you guys, and knowing, you know, the best part of all this is that it makes it a lot easier when you don't have to do the heavy lifting 24/7 and you know you got guys that are behind you. And ladies, and let me say this, it's time to say this and give the ladies who do so much, Phyllis Jesperson, you make, you know, CFL is what it is. And I got to tell you, you know, the hard work that she does, you know, it is amazing. And of course, Debbie Wormsbecker, you know, she hangs back a little bit, but I'll tell you, when she's needed, she's there, right, Mike?
Oh, yes, sir, always.
And that's what matters. We're, you know, while you know, I've been promoting the idea that we should add some more women to the program, and admittedly, the testosterone team seems to, for the few women, there are quite a few women that love the CFL is. Unfortunately, when it comes to this program, I don't know whether it's me or the rest of the guys, we seem to make it less attractive for women to be involved. And I want you to know, we have reached out on this program, as you guys know, I have reached out to women that love the game of football. And it's not just about having women on the show, because that's not good enough for me. What I want to have is women that actually love the CFL, understand the CFL, follow the CFL, so that when their commentary about the CFL happens, it comes from a real place. And that's what I'm hoping for. And guys, please don't discriminate against women. Let's give some women a chance to get in here. I know that, you know, It might be hard for some to stomach that, but guys, I think they could contribute in a way that you know, makes the CFL what it is. And you know, CFL is it's not all about guys, right?
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't be the CFL. You get Rebecca on this program, man. She is one smart football lady.
I wouldn't be the football fan that I am today without my mother, who passed away about 11 years ago. But, you know, she was born and raised in Edmonton and grew up an Eskimo fan, moved to Montreal for a short period during the war and, you know, cheered for the Alouettes while she was there. Now, you know, this is a football fan through and through, and this is the person who
look
basically
in the stands.
Lit the fire in me.
Yep. Look in the stands when you watch TSN on Friday nights when the big game is on.
It's 50-50. It's 50-50.
You got that right.
Yes, sir.
Without question, the ladies know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the ladies, man, we got to give a shout-out to Tangerine Lime because she'd be doing a good job in the room.
Totally.
Too, man. She's always giving her output. Input everything. I got to give a shout out to her too, man.
She's always giving me grief, though. I'm not sure I want to give her any credit here on the show.
Also, you leave my Tangy alone.
Yeah, it's
also,
that color that I'm
Donna.
Not too enamored with. It's the color I'm not that enamored with. Tangerine. That's too much like a BC Lions color.
Well, she's a BC Lions fan, through and through.
Is that it? Oh, jeez, and I didn't notice that.
You didn't know that?
Also,
she lives about 10 miles from me.
Of course I did. I'm just leg pulling a little bit. Hey, it don't matter what you're
also
for.
Donna Hodel, she's got to get a shout-out. She's been doing a lot in the room lately.
Yeah, shout out to Donna, man.
Hey, all of you, we appreciate all of you. If you're a CFL fan, you're automatically one of our people. That's just the way it works. And if you think I was kidding about giving AJ a ride from Toronto to Ottawa, trust me, I'm not kidding. And if you think I'm kidding about giving him a ride from Toronto to Hamilton, that's a no-brainer, man. That ain't that far at all.
Get up there, AJ.
Yeah.
Get up there.
If any guys in the CFL is group or any of the arena group, if they need a ride from Regina to Saskatoon to the Ryder camp, just as a walk-on or whatever, let me know.
There you go. Because what we're about here,
extended invitation.
What we're about here on the Candid Frank Live CFL is show is we is. About making the CFL a better place. On that note, guys, I got to shut you guys up, turn off your mics, and make sure you don't talk anymore so I can say goodnight to all the wonderful people that listen to the program. We'll see you again on Mondays, Fridays. On Monday, 9 to 11. On Friday, 10 to 12, because of Chris Jones, who just can't handle calling at 6 p.m. But you know what? That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. John Granger, where the heck are you?